Senator Starr and I will compose a subcommittee for the purpose of hearing public testimony on Senate Bill 255. Senator Schrader, you're here. This is your bill. If you'd like to come forward and place your testimony on the record for public hearing. And I apologize for the record. Senator Burdick apparently is ill. Senator Ringo, Senator Walker were both in other meetings in their jurisdictions or the districts. And Senator Ferrioli, we're trying to find.
I understand, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to testify. For the record, I'm Kurt Schrader, State Senator, District 20. Appreciate the chair hearing Senate Bill 255. This is an issue that's gotten a lot of attention over the last few sessions. As the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association has tried to step forward, like it has in other animal issues, and provide a little leadership here. This bill is fairly straightforward. At this point in time, we're trying to have mandatory reporting of animal abuse, aggravated animal abuse in particular, provide for penalties for veterinarians that are not reporting. I think we're aware of the fact that the standard of care in veterinary medicine has increased in the last 20 years, as has the animal husbandry expectations. And there's been big changes in our society that concern us. So as a result, we're trying to upgrade our standards, I think that we would all agree are important to protect animals in our society. I don't have a lot more to say, Mr. Chair. I guess if you had any particular questions, you or Senator Starr, I've got a number of people from the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association that are interested in testifying and to provide some more insight. They've been associated with this bill and this whole process longer than I.
Senator, just a quick question. In your practice as a veterinarian, do you have an assistant that helps you?
Yes, I do.
Does that assistant always work under your direction?
That is correct.
Okay, so I was looking at the part that makes it the veterinarian's responsibility as opposed to, say, veterinarian assistant or someone else. So
we try and that's an issue that we are grappling with in terms of how much authority one should delegate. But we're trying to have that always under our authority and auspices.
All right, great. Well, thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator Starr?
Sorry. Yes, sir.
I asked you a question before we began testimony, and I would like to put it on the record. On the second page under Section 7, Item 2 being eliminated there, my sense is that this record was to be established so that those who are trappers would have evidence that they, in fact, are good citizens and are not trapping or harming animals that incidentally. And I'm wondering if you would be opposed to leaving that in the bill.
Section of bill is not as of much import, certainly, as the aggravated animal abuse portion of the bill. It was my understanding that the dean had not received any reports. Actually, I had sponsored, I believe, the bill, or was a co-sponsor, at least, of the bill that put this into statute. I think my reason for doing that at the time was that I wanted to see if there was a problem or not with it, and clearly it is not a huge problem, or we would have had more reporting. I think there have been some other incidences that have occurred but have not been reported to the dean. But I think the dean is this particular dean, the College of Veterinary Medicine, is new to this state, and I think he also wondered why this particular portion was his responsibility. But the main thing that I'm interested in, Senator Starr, Mr. Chair, is the aggravated animal abuse portion of this bill.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much,
Thank
Senator.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. And although it may seem rather silly to have just two members of the committee here, we do have some folks who have traveled, I think, a little bit more than 100 miles. Dave Barrows, you have someone? Steve Brown has come from quite a distance to be here. Senator Ferrioli, thank you for attending.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the subcommittee. My name is Dave Barrows. I'm one of the lobbyists for the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association. With me today is Dr. Steve Brown of Newport. Dr. Brown, With your permission, Mr. Chairman, we'll make a brief, some brief remarks relative to the purpose of the bill, and then I'd like, if I may, make a couple of comments in anticipation of what you may hear from other witnesses.
Thank you. Dr. Brown.
Mr. Chair, Senators, I am Stephen Brown, a veterinarian in private practice in Newport, and I've had the privilege previously of serving on the Veterinary Medical Examining Board and am past president of the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association, the OVMA. Currently, I chair the Legislative Affairs Committee for the OVMA. As in most fields of science, veterinary medicine is rapidly evolving. And the most noted areas, of course, are in areas of diagnostics and therapeutics. But areas much less obvious to the general public involve public health, social consciousness, and animal welfare. And if you will, let me offer a brief example. 1 month ago, I was invited to a conference on bioterrorism that was sponsored by the Center for Disease Control under the auspices of Homeland Security. The Surgeon General was one of the speakers there, and through the course of deliberation, it became apparent that our nation's leaders in preparing for planning, preparedness, and response had come to realize that a profession that had considerable experience and expertise in some of these agents was absent from the discussions. So just as an example, I can assure you that that's being rapidly corrected. In a similar vein, for many years, my profession has left the discussion of animal welfare issues up to our friends in the humane organizations. That, too, is changing. Veterinarians are now routinely speaking up to advocate for our patients' responsible animal care. Some have proposed that the companion animal veterinarian should be considered the other family doctor. And as recent national surveys have confirmed that the majority of Americans now think of their pets as family members, we consider it what a trusted responsibility and privilege that it is to be able to impact humans as well as animals in our society. But with privilege comes responsibility, and the leadership of the OVMA has extensively debated the concepts behind Senate Bill 255 during the last 5 years, and the Board of Directors has unanimously decided that it's time for Oregon veterinarians to step up to the plate and accept our social responsibility to report aggravated animal abuse. We encourage your endorsement and passage of 255. As an addendum, I might mention that this has no impact whatsoever upon the current animal abuse statutes. There's no change recommended in that.
All right, Dr. Thank you, Senator. Senator Dave Barrows.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I can only dream.
Well, that would be more of a nightmare, I'm sure. I can attest.
Just a couple of quick things, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Unlike the laws that deal with mandatory reporting by a whole range of folks, including you, Mr. Chairman, including Mr. Joseph, and many others, in the case of abuse of humans, which is a mandatory reporting law, the current law dealing with veterinarians is permissive. It says that a veterinarian may report a suspected case of animal abuse. And if that veterinarian does it in good faith, that the veterinarian is given a shield from civil liability, even if the facts later turn out it wasn't an abuse case. This bill would change the law only in the case of aggravated animal abuse. And as your counsel can tell you, that is a very high standard. It really is. It's the death of an animal or the physical, intentional abuse, constant and continuous. I mean, it's a very, very narrow definition. It's a very high standard. That's all this bill does. Two other things, Mr. Chairman. You will hear testimony dealing with lines 19 and perhaps 20 on page 1 that deal who is in a law enforcement agency for the purpose of reporting by the veterinarian in this case. That, to my recollection, I haven't had a chance to grab chapter 167, but my recollection is, Mr. Chairman, that's the list that exists in current law dealing with permissive reporting, which would continue for all the permissive reporting statute would continue in place in all cases of abuse of animals and reporting by veterinarians, except for aggravated abuse, which would become mandatory. The second item on the very last section, the subsection of the on page 2, which would delete the provision that was put in the law last session dealing with reporting of animals that were caught in trapping devices. As Dr. Senator Schrader indicated, the dean has had no one, there have been no reports to the dean at the College of Veterinary Medicine. There are individuals here who will testify that they do not want this section deleted. And frankly, Mr. Chairman, we would not resist their concerns. It's just sort of a section that sort of sits there and doesn't mean much of anything. The suggestion we would make is if you're going to leave subsection 2 of 686.445 in the law, that perhaps you consider changing it to Fish and Wildlife, the report go to Fish and Wildlife rather than the dean of the School of Veterinary Medicine.
Okay.
But if you just took the deletion out, that would be acceptable also.
All right. Thank you. Any questions? There are no questions. Senator Farrell.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Mr. Barrows has testified that the current list of law enforcement agencies for reporting is what's reiterated in sections 2, A, B, C, and D. But I guess it stretches the imagination, at least for this legislator, to see the Humane Society as a law enforcement agency.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Farrioli, the certain individuals who work for Humane Societies are, in fact, quasi-deputized by the state to do this kind of work, to make investigations, to go out and look at situations on behalf of the state. This is not a new concept.
Mr. Chairman, I understand that. And I appreciate the comment from the witness. The issue for me is the bright line between sworn officers and non-sworn officers. And in years past, we've dealt with the desire for waymasters to be considered law enforcement officers to be allowed to carry firearms. And we've dealt with a number of other investigator classes of state employees who do inquiries on behalf of their agencies that approach investigations and even are used to prepare administrative cases or even criminal cases, and they are not law enforcement officers. And it just seems to me that there's a bracket creep in the definition of what is and what isn't a law enforcement agency. And I just think this is one of those instances where if we have another list in statute, not only should we remove that from Senate Bill 255, but look at the reference statutes to redefine so that there is a clear differentiation between municipal and city police departments, the county sheriff's office, the Oregon State Police, which are all sworn officers, and then non-sworn officers who may work for the Humane Society or the Animal Control Agency. In fact, Mr. Chairman, it's my belief that these people, although they fill an absolutely vital function and could be used as in an investigatory role, they are not police officers or law enforcement agency members.
All right. I think those are actually relatively good comments. I probably have some of the same questions, but it occurs to me that any sheriff in any of the 36 counties has the authority under the law to deputize any person working, in any organization. But that is a step. I think Senator Farrell is kind of on the right track. And if the sheriff did choose to deputize some person for that purpose.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may, has in many cases. And my understanding, there will be somebody here from the Humane Society, and that individual may already be here, and hopefully could speak to that with better knowledge, perhaps, than I can. The only thing I would add is this is only to the people to whom a report can be given. But and then if the Humane Society doesn't feel comfortable, they go then to the police or whatever. But the gist of the bill, the importance of the bill, is the mandatory reporting of animal abuse, and all the rest of it we're more than willing to work with council and committee members on.
All right. Dave, I have another question on page 2, line 10. It says that if a law enforcement agency receiving a report of suspected animal aggravated animal abuse shall immediately investigate. What does that mean?
Mr. Chairman, I am not conversant with how the courts of this state have interpreted the word immediately. I honestly don't know whether that means drop everything else they're doing and go and do that, or it means you can't just stick it in a stack and get around to it 8 months from now. I honestly don't. Mr. Joseph may know the answer to that question, but I don't. I'm sorry.
I mean, I personally know that we have rape cases that are not investigated simply because there's not sufficient personnel to assign the investigation. So in terms of priorities, I would suggest that sexual assaults against adult human beings would be of a higher priority, but yeah, other persons might disagree.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I certainly wouldn't quarrel with that. I would only say that it is anticipated that this would be a rare instance in the state. This is not a huge, overwhelming, numerically high problem area where 10 cases are going to be reported every day to the folks in Linn County. Or you know, Columbia County, pick a county, that this is aggravated animal abuse is a relatively rare, thank goodness, situation, and we'd like to think that would not overwhelm authorities.
Yeah, and I wouldn't assume that it would overwhelm authorities. I'm just a little bit concerned about that word immediately and what that means in the event that an agency did not respond as quick as someone thought they should, and they were potentially sued for failing to take some action that someone thought they should, and have to come in and justify or defend themselves in that instance.
Mr. Chairman, I assume, without talking to my client, I assume we would be very amenable to a softer word there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm assuming what you're trying to do here is just say that they need to take it seriously and trying to take steps to investigate.
Yeah. In the case of aggravated animal abuse, our position is that it shouldn't be permissive as to veterinarians. Right. Veterinarians should have to report this.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Lieutenant Randy Covey. Which agency are you with?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This is Lieutenant Randy Covey of the Law Enforcement Division of the Oregon Humane Society.
All right. Thank you.
Seems like my testimony is timely and in response to some of the questions that were raised. I'm happy to be here and be able to perhaps shed some light on those questions. I'm here representing the Oregon Humane Society and appearing in support of Senate Bill 255. My experience in investigating and prosecuting perpetrators of animal crimes, veterinarians are some of the, well, they are the best witness that we can have in an animal crime case. I'm pleased to see that Senator Schrader has sponsored this bill and that the OVMA is supporting it and putting it forward. I think I'll begin just by answering some of the questions that were raised during the last testimony. The Oregon Humane Society does have a law enforcement division. It's a small division. We have officers that have been through the police academy. Our officers are commissioned and sworn, commissioned.
Senator Farrelly.
I would like to apologize on behalf of myself and all the my staff for having overlooked the fact that we have sworn officers in the Oregon Humane Society. I hope I haven't offended any of the folks that wear the uniform.
No, not at all, Senator.
I have had an opportunity this morning to learn something new about our law enforcement community. I thank the chairman and stand to sit corrected.
Actually, I imagine Lieutenant Covey can give us some hair-raising testimony because some people are more attached to their pets than they are their wives. So if you had to take their dog and dispose of their wife, they might have more of a reaction. I'm trying to be funny here. It may not.
I was trying to help the chairman. Is that H-A-R-E raising or is it? Sorry.
Yeah, not at all, and certainly no offense taken. I appreciate the apology, but it's not necessary. I'm just happy to have the opportunity to clear that up. We are, like I said, a small division. We are commissioned directly by the governor's office under a section of the Oregon law that allows the governor to commission special agents. Officially, we're known as special agents for the state of Oregon. Our focus and our authority is limited to animal crime investigation. This is a good bill. Senate Bill 255 recognizes the relationship between human and animal abuse. It requires veterinarians to report the worst types of abuse, and it allows the veterinarians and their staff to report other types of abuse, neglect, abandonment, without fear of civil or criminal liability. One of the things that I often hear from veterinarians is a concern about violating the doctor-client privilege. And this bill, the current bill, has been helpful, and the Senate Bill 255 will continue to be able to reassure them that that this is something that they're not only allowed to do, but they are protected from any liability if they participate in such reporting. As I stated, my experience is that veterinarians are the best witnesses that we have in animal cases. I have yet to hear a veterinarian come back to me after the fact with any sort of concerns or repercussions from their client base that they have reported this. In fact, the feedback that I've gotten is that their clients are happy that they participate in the prosecution of animal crimes. Oregon Humane Society believes that all types of abuse and neglect should be reported. We support this bill as a great step towards ensuring that people who commit animal crimes are held accountable. In response to Senator Starr's question about page 2, line 27 being deleted, Oregon Humane Society, in my personal experience, is that when animals are caught in traps, it appears that they're not have not been at all, or at least very minimally, reported to the dean. However, those types of crimes are reported to our office. They don't necessarily go through a veterinarian, but the people that own the pets that are being trapped do report those. So there is a tracking system in place, and those types of incidents do generally come to the public's attention, and quite often in a very loud and clear manner. People that have pets that get caught in traps generally are quite upset about that. So that is addressed. However, the Oregon Humane Society would certainly not oppose having that section put back in the bill. But we do support, again, Senate Bill 255.
All right. Thank you very much. There is one issue I'll raise, and maybe you're not the right person to answer it. And I know this at least intuitively by my work, but the Section 1 says that the Legislative Assembly fines, and there's a number of findings here that there is a direct link between the problems of animal abuse and human abuse, and further finds that for the purpose of identifying and prosecuting individuals who have committed crimes against animals, preventing further abuse, blah, blah, blah. So my question or the statement I want to make is that before the Legislative Assembly has a finding of that nature, I think we need to have some documents or some research or some information provided to us that supports that finding, so that there is something in the record that does that.
I can certainly speak to that, Mr. Chair, and appreciate the opportunity. There have been studies done, and one of my colleagues, Kelly Peterson from the Humane Society of the United States, may in fact have some of those with her. If not, we can certainly provide that to the committee, possibly by the end of the day. But in my testimony, I'm happy to add that studies that have been done show a direct link between animal abuse and human abuse. There's documentary evidence that most, if not all, of the most famous human abusers have a history in their past of animal abuse. The link that is between human and animal abuse is, to put it in its simplest terms, is that people that commit crimes against animals are more likely to go on to commit crimes against people. The theory and the studies that have been done show that committing crimes against animals tends to start people on a path that allows them to disregard life. And starting with animal life, that disregard and that I guess barrier, if you will, that they put up allows them to then view humans as animals that they've been abusing and to sort of dehumanize them and makes it easier for them to commit abuse against humans. So that's the theory behind the link. And like I said, I'd be happy to get some documentation that gives you specifics about the documentary evidence that's been studied.
All right. Thank you, Lieutenant. Actually, I think your comments are helpful, and I think we get some additional documents. I think we should be that should be sufficient. Any other questions, Senator Starner? Any comments?
Okay. We do, Mr. Chair, have written testimony establishing the links that from the Humane Society that
oh, okay. Start.
Yes.
All right, good. Well, hey, maybe I should just read the documents, huh?
Thank you.
All right, we've got some folks here in opposition to the bill. So we'll start with Jared Broadfoot, Al Elkins, and Greg Addington, Safari Club International.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jared Broadfoot, here today representing the Oregon chapters of Safari Club International. I want to testify in opposition to Senate Bill 255 in regards to page 2, lines 27 through 29, which has been referenced here, where the veterinarians are required to report to the Dean of College of Veterinary Medicine at Oregon State University incidents of treating animals purported to have been injured by trapping devices. This was indeed put into statute last session through House Bill 3147, which was chief sponsored by now Senator Schrader. We feel that this reporting requirement is very important to wildlife management and for trapping purposes. So the Department of Fish and Wildlife and trappers and wildlife managers can know if animals are being caught in traps that are unintended to be. It's been reported also today that there have been no reports, and we would like to see this remain in statute. If there indeed are no reports, then there seems to be no work to be done. But we do want to have this on the books, so if there is an animal that is caught in a trap and reported, that we have record of it. As you remember, in 2000, there was an attempt to ban trapping in this state, and were reports that numerous animals were caught in traps and that they were non-target animals, and specifically domestic animals. This reporting requirement will aid in this state making an educated decision on whether or not domestic animals or non-target animals are indeed caught in traps. With that, I will end my comments, but that is our opposition to the bill, is that section. We would definitely like to see that remain within the bill, and it seems that other folks are okay with that as well, so I'll be happy to answer any questions.
All right, Jared. Thank you. Any questions of Mr. Broadfoot? There are none. Al, you're next.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Al Elkins. I'm representing the Oregon Hunters Association. I'm here today, too, in opposition to the one section, Section 7, Sub 2, lines 27 through 29. I'd just like to add to the previous speaker's testimony, Mr. Chair, that in May of 2001, in testimony given before the committee, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, in support of House Bill 3147, said that animal welfare is an important component of any trapping program. Currently, little scientific information is available in Oregon about the number of domestic animals injured by trapping devices. The establishment of a mandatory reporting system to identify and report all animals treated for injuries caused by a trapping device will provide valuable information, and we'd like to continue with that. We support keeping that section in the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Again, Al, who are you representing?
Oregon Hunters Association.
Oregon Hunters. Okay, thank you. All right. And Mr. Addington.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. For the record, my name is Greg Addington. I'm with the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation, the Associate Director of Governmental Affairs. I won't take much of the committee's time. Would just like to echo what my colleagues here have said. We don't have a problem with the bill, with the exception of page 2, line 27 through 29. We would like to see that language remain in the bill. Again, just echoing what they have said, I'm pleased to hear there have been at least not a magnitude of reports from the veterinarians. We would like to see that continue so we have more data, more years of data for that. As has been said, our folks are often, there's allegations often that this is a big problem, that non-target animals are caught in traps, and so we would just like to continue to see that a record be built. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Addington. I appreciate that. And you can all stand down. There are no questions for you. Rod Harder, you're the last witness.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Rod Harder. I'm here this morning representing Oregon United Sporting Dogs, and please, no hard questions. I've only worked for them since Monday. and my testimony will be very brief. Our concern is on line 15, where we say a law enforcement agency would mean a humane society in Oregon. And we have discussed that, or you have discussed it, and we do understand that there are sworn officers, but it would appear to us that a humane society in Oregon is an agency and not an individual, and could open that up for numerous people to be designated as members of law enforcement agencies. And with that, that concludes our concerns.
So, Rod, would you be more, would be supportive if we actually defined these persons who are especially sworn and trained to do investigation?
Mr. Chair, our comfort level would rise considerably.
All right. And I don't know. Thank you. Are there any other questions of you? Mr. Covey, Lieutenant Covey, do you know if you have a special title under statute or what that might be or how it would be referenced?
Yes, Senator. Our title is Special Agent. Our Commission is Special Agents for the State of Oregon. If I could make a suggestion, the language could be changed in response to the concern, either to read the Law Enforcement Division of the Oregon Humane Society, which only employs commission officers, or to read any special agent of the State of Oregon.
Right, or the commission officers of the Law Enforcement Division of the Oregon Humane Society or something. Senator Farrelly.
The change that I think might also be a suggestion would be on line 2, law enforcement agents instead of agency, and then in each of A, B, C, and D, sworn officers of any city or municipal police department, any county or sheriff's office, the Oregon State Police, the Oregon State Humane Society, any county or municipal animal control agency. So that would cause the report to be filed with agents who are sworn.
Okay. Well, clearly we have to work on elements of the bill, so we'll do that. Anyone else here wishing to testify on Senate Bill 255? There is one. Oh, Ms. Kelly Peterson. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Chair Menace and committee members. My name is Kelly Peterson. I'm with the Humane Society of the United States. I'm here. We have representing 85,000 members and constituents here in Oregon. And I won't repeat what I submitted already with my written comments, especially about the link between animal abuse and human violence, but I just wanted to respond to some of the objections about removing the veterinarian reporting of trapping of pets that are caught in illegal traps. I guess I would suggest, we had the same suggestion when this bill went through last session, is having the reporting go to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, trappers already report every April, I believe it is, their target animals that they've caught. And it would seem that it might also be more accurate if they also reported the animals, the non-target animals, the pets that they've also caught. Because to my knowledge, veterinarians have not yet been notified, or there hasn't been dialogue with Oregon veterinarians about the new requirement for them that they're supposed to report any pet that's been caught in a trap to the dean. So I don't know if there would be accurate numbers.
All right, so you're not opposed to keeping it. You just think the report should go to the Fish and Wildlife Department. And that, what would that accomplish?
Well, I think a mechanism is already in place where trappers are already reporting the animals that they catch. So they would know firsthand as well if they come back to their trap and they find a non-target animal, especially a pet. They would then report that to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Also, I think individuals are more prone. We also get calls, like the Oregon Humane Society, if a pet's been caught in a trap. And oftentimes they think to contact the Fish and Wildlife. I'm not certain how often they go through a veterinarian. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Peterson. Appreciate your testimony. You can stand down. Jared, your group, come on up just for a second. And I want to discuss the Fish and Wildlife issue. What's your opinion or view on the Fish and Wildlife reporting as opposed to the dean of the college?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, we would oppose moving it to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Right now it's the vets who are reporting any animals that are purported to have been caught in trapping devices. We feel that the vets should report to the dean of veterinary medicine if, in fact, an animal is caught in a trap and a trapper would report that. That would be a separate issue from what this specific section deals with. The only thing that this section deals with is the vet's reporting requirement. We could definitely have a discussion at a later time, or now if you prefer, about the reporting requirements of trappers.
All right. Okay.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Al Elkins, Oregon Hunters Association. And what I'm going to say, I mean in the nicest way, the vet's reporting gives the report credibility outside anything aligned with hunting or trapping or sportsmen. It gives it instant credibility, and that's what I like about it.
So I was like, credibility or neutrality?
Both. Because it's within their system.
I see. Okay. You're not suggesting the Fish and Wildlife Department is not.
No, and I mean this in the nicest way. It's just separate from them.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. For the record, Greg Addington, Oregon Farm Bureau. The only thing I would add to that is I think that there's an assumption that when an animal, particularly a domestic animal, is caught in a trap, that it's a particularly brutal, nasty thing. And we've heard from the Humane Society that in fact some of these reports do happen that do not go to a veterinarian. We would like to see the veterinarian's report from the aspect of, you know, are these serious injuries, and what's happening? Are these animals being killed when they're caught in these traps and that sort of thing? So I think that is an issue that we would have.
All right. So council wants to know what kind of traps you're using in the state or are being used in the state. Apparently, we're from the city.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Jared Broadfoot with Oregon Chapters of Safari Club International. The types of traps that are used in this state run the range from live traps, which are used for raccoons or whatever type of particular animal, to padded jaw leg hold traps, to conibear traps. There are a list of traps that are used, and we'd be more than happy to obtain that list from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and submit it to the committee if that would be your preference.
I think we're fine.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else wishing to testify? Rod Harder, come on up.
Uh,
Mr. Chair, I'm, no pun intended, don't have a dog in this particular fight, but for the committee's information, I am on a legislatively appointed committee that deals with the trapping issue that was appointed by the last session. And the dean of the veterinarian college appointed the chair of that commission. So I think that they are logically the people that these reports should go to. And we have been working, and we'll have a report for the legislature. Actually, it is in form and has been formally presented to the chair of the Ag Committee.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions for the committee? There are none. All right. Clearly, this bill needs a few amendments and some changes. Now, who's the lead person? Is it Dave? Is your organization? Do you want to take that responsibility on, given all of the comments you've heard today?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to.
All right. You work with council to get the amendments drafted. When it's ready, we'll bring it back. Close the public hearing on Senate Bill 255. And I'll back up and regroup here. Anyone else who's come from more than 100 miles or 50 miles? Yeah, I'm thinking because we don't have a full complement of the committee, do you know whether or not we have that? All right, for the rest of you left on the existing bills, I think, unless you would object, I don't think I want to continue the public hearing until we have a quorum, because I don't see a ton of people in opposition to the bills. So rather than have you come back and restate everything you had stated to begin with, we'll maybe redeem the time and close the public hearing if that's okay with you. Okay? All right. With that, we're going to adjourn.